As we look at the bruised Christ, we have been on this for a few weeks now. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the very first time that man sinned, we see God stepping in with justice. But in that point in time, God Almighty pointed to our Redeemer. He pointed to Jesus Christ and indicated to us that because of the sin that man has committed, it is going to cause the heel of Jesus Christ to be bruised. And so from the very inception of sin on earth, we recognize that we could do nothing but depend on the sacrifice of God in Jesus Christ to redeem us. We took some time looking at the fact that that was not the only occurrence of sin. Over and over, man sinned. And we picked out, as it were, some of the stalwarts through history, where we looked at Isaiah and we saw that though years ahead he spoke of the bruised Christ, just as God introduced the bruised Christ at the beginning of sin. And what we learned as we studied is that though Jesus Christ was bruised, he was bruised. He was despised. He was wounded. He was chastised, oppressed. And there's a host, about a dozen other descriptions of what he went through for us, because he's the bruised Christ. But the focus, the point that we should never miss and forget, is that though he was bruised, it was for us. Jesus Christ was bruised not because he sinned, not because he was in need of any reconciliation with God, but because of our sins and our iniquity, he was bruised for us. We got an insight from David. David, he is attributed to being a man after God's own heart. And we saw that he recognized and spoke prophetically about Jesus Christ, his humiliation and his suffering. But not only that, we also looked at another character, Abraham. Abraham, designated to be a friend of God. And we saw that he, over and over, sacrificed. He gave. And what is the point? Right through the ages, we have seen the recognition that our sin is in need of a sacrifice. And we see coming over and over that though we have sinned, we could do nothing to solve the problem of sin. Though there was many a goats, many a sheep, many a cows, many a birds that were sacrificed, there's nothing that we could do and those could do to really deal with our sins in a permanent and complete way. It needed the bruised heel of Jesus Christ. So we have looked at Christ introduced, the bruised Christ introduced. We have looked at the bruised Christ for us. Today, we want to examine the bruised Christ on the cross. The bruised Christ on the cross. And in the passage that was read earlier, we see that on the cross of Jesus Christ, that there was much humiliation. He was bruised, scarred from a social perspective, in addition to the physical ordeal that he went through. And we see this humiliation, and somebody saying, but Brother Webb, didn't you talk about how Christ was humiliated last week? Yes, because David, in his discourse in Psalm 22, spoke about this type of humiliation that Jesus Christ would face on the cross. But here it is that in the New Testament, that we are seeing again in reality now, not in prophecy, Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And if we pick up at verse 1, we see some truths coming out here that we do well to pay close attention to. And so in verse 1 it says, we're at St. John chapter 19. Let's do this quickly.
Then Pilate therefore took Jesus.
He took Jesus, read.
And scourged him.
He scourged him.
And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns.
They plaited a thorn of crown.
And put it on his head.
And put it on his head. So those maka was joking him. Not any little small thing like what is on our little rosebud, some big long things plaited and then planted on his head. Torture. Read on.
And they put on him a purple robe.
They put on him a purple robe, a purple robe. Well, that's really a good depiction of Jesus because it's a sign of royalty. But they were doing it mockingly. It was all humiliation. And that is what Jesus Christ did for us. You know, scripture continues to tell us that not only was he scourged and was that crown of thorns put on his head and he was mocked like he was, but they spat on him. You know, they ridiculed him, they smote him. You know, they were saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," but they were really being sarcastic and mocking. That even when you are in good stead, when persons mock and jeer you, it can hit deep. And so the bruised Christ suffered deep humiliation for us. You know, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 37, you know, we see that depiction of him being spat upon. And the same for Matthew 27, 30. We see this type of humiliation coming over and over. But let's realize this. The bruised Christ suffered humiliation. The bruised Christ was crucified. The bruised Christ was crucified. I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to allow every gospel to speak this morning. Where are you? John? Let's have John chapter 19 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 27, verse 31. Mark chapter 15, verse 25, and Luke 23, 33. I'll repeat them for your ease. So you are John? John chapter 19, verse 17. Read quickly.
And he was bearing his cross.
and he was bearing his cross.
Went forth into a place.
Yes.
Called the place of a skull.
Called the place of a skull.
Which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha.
Golgotha.
Where they crucified him.
Where they crucified
him.
Where they crucified him. So Jesus Christ was crucified. So it's not only that he was humiliated. You know, we didn't even mention that he was forsaken. You know, David spoke of that too. To be forsaken by God. Because God could not look at sin that he at that point represented for all of us. So all of that forsaking, that humiliation, being spat upon, beyond that, he was crucified. Matthew, tell me which book you are at and I'll tell you the chapter and verse.
Matthew 27:31. 31.
Every gospel writer is going to be petitioned this morning. We heard John. Now Matthew is recording in chapter 27 and verse 31, and he says,
And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him.
So, you know, you give him the depiction of what he really is, but then you stripped him of it. Humiliation. Read on.
And put his own raiment on him. And led him away to crucify him.
And that's another gospel preacher talking. And in that gospel, he's saying again, Jesus Christ was led to be crucified. Other gospel writer, Luke, Mark, where are you?
Luke 23:33.
So we heard John. We heard Matthew. We are about to hear Luke. Read.
And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him.
They came to the place called Calvary. You know, it's hard to hear Calvary without getting some amount of emotional feel. Because Calvary becomes such a special place in the life of the Christian. You know, it was on Calvary that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, existed. It is on that cross of Calvary that our sins were truly dealt with. The Calvary's cross is not a light matter for us.
True.
If I don't hold breaks, I'll spend about 10 minutes on that point. But I don't want you to forget why I am at Luke right now.
Right.
And it said something about Calvary. What about Calvary?
Which is called Calvary. There they crucified him.
There they crucified Jesus Christ.
And the malefactors, one on the right hand.
That's fine. What is the point? Matthew, John, and Luke so far have spoken. And in their speaking, we are told, and they are telling us, that the bruised Christ was crucified. Which gospel writer is remaining? Mark. So Mark chapter 15 and verse 25. Let's hear what Mark has to say.
And it was the third hour. And they crucified him.
Why did I go through all of that? We can read And it's almost we can just say Jesus Christ was crucified. Without getting the gravity of what that is. This bruised Christ is really, or this crucified Christ is really pointing to the bruised Christ. That same bruised Christ that we were introduced to from the very first occurrence of sin. He was crucified. He was nailed to the cross. You know, I took the narrative, it's actually a narrative in the footnotes of my study Bible. And it sort of just expounded on what crucify means. And I share at least a portion of that with you. Because we can just, you know, sometimes, you know, we say, boy, we're going through something. It's like, man, just crucify me. You know, we start to speak about it loosely. You know? The work you come like, I just crucify them, I crucify me. Yeah. And we use that term. But over and over, the gospel writers pointed to that because, and rightly so, because the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, is at the heart of the gospel. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. But here is a depiction of the crucifixion. It is a painful and slow means of execution. So what we are seeing here is that crucifixion is an execution. But beyond being an execution, it is designed to be slow. It's a torture. It is designed to be painful. Torture. A painful and slow means of execution that the Romans adopted from the Phoenicians. So it's almost like the Romans at the time said, I want a way that when we execute, when we kill, when we kill, it's going to be as slow and as painful as we can imagine. And I can imagine in our culture, you know, somebody would say, well, let us bring in the experts. You know, let us look at what other jurisdictions do. When we want to pass certain laws and it's not here yet, you know, we go on, what do other countries do? And I can just picture them probably sending persons on and say, how do people do it? And they saw what the Phoenicians did. And they say, yes, that's what we are going to adopt. We want something that is going to be painful and slow. Because this is designed for the worst of the worst. It goes on to say that the victims of crucifixion usually die after 2 or 3 days. That's how it's designed to be slow. Torture. The process of dying. So before you die, you'd suffer great thirst. There would be exposure to the elements. There would be great exhaustion. You know, and then it uses a word that I had to go and look in the dictionary for. But you know, I won't even try to pronounce it. But the process involves the lack of oxygen, and that resonated. You know, it deprived, the lungs can't even work anymore. You know, and it just reminds me of our narrative in the news over the last few weeks. You know, where persons are in the hospital with the COVID-19. And there was a time when we didn't even have sufficient oxygen to give persons. And I'm saying, When we even hear that type of narrative, we squinge. And we say, I don't want to go there. But here it is that the bruised Christ was suffering a death, a terrible death, that the process of it was just agony, including the lack of oxygen. He could not even breathe properly. The narrative goes on to tell us and to share that in a crucifixion, the hands are often nailed to the cross. You know, some literature says, you know, sometimes it's just tied. But from all indication, Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross. But here's it. When the person is nailed to the beam, the cross beam, it appears that he's nailed being on the ground. And then the cross is lifted up. Picture that. Our bruised Christ would have suffered, nailed, and then he's hoisted up. Can you just imagine how the tear, that deep bruise and hurt and pain that he would have suffered? Why? For our sins. But it was then hoisted up and affixed to the upright. And then the feet were nailed. It was nailed in such a way that the victim could try to ease up sometimes. But he would not be able to sustain that. And so each time he slipped, the agony and the pain would be there again. Jesus Christ was bruised for us. He didn't go through anything light. You know, it is sometimes easy to say, oh, Jesus Christ was crucified. But he suffered pain and anguish as he was nailed to that cross. So not only was our bruised Christ on the cross of Calvary suffering great humiliation, but as he was nailed, as he was crucified, he suffered. So we see that he was crucified, he was humiliated. If you are back at St. John chapter 19, then I would invite you to read for me verse 34. Because, you know, Jesus Christ didn't suffer 2-3 days. You know, he died after hours. But in the midst of his humiliation and his crucifixion, we are told that he was pierced. Verse 34.
But one of the soldiers. With a spear. Pierced his side. And forthwith. Came there out blood and water.
That's significant. And we're going to look later on that pierced side of Jesus Christ as he was bruised on the cross. But you know, if we are not careful, we can miss the point in the bruised Christ. Because sometimes we think about bruise, you know, it's almost like it didn't get very serious. But bruised Christ on the cross was a dead Christ. He died. Still at St. John 19. Jump up to verse 30 for me. Because humiliated, crucified, he was pierced in his side. We saw that in verse 34. But verse 30 tells us. Read.
When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar.
Yes, read.
He said, it is finished.
It is finished. Not a cry of defeat, but a cry of victory. I have finished what I came here to do. I have come as the bruised Christ, and I have accomplished That end. Read on. It is finished.
And he bowed his head.
And he bowed his head.
And gave up the ghost.
And gave up the ghost. You know what I'm saying? Jesus Christ died. You know, later, probably in another lesson, we are going to see that in the same context that we were told that Jesus Christ would be the bruised heel. His heel would be bruised. In that same context, we were told that Satan's head would be bruised. And you know what that is saying? That while the heel of Christ would be bruised, it would pale in comparison to what obtains with Satan. Because Satan's head would be crushed, would be bruised. But it's just the heel, so to speak, in Jesus Christ that would be bruised. But make no mistake, it wasn't anything light that was at stake. It took the life of Jesus Christ. Verse 33. But when they came to Jesus.
And saw that he was dead already. So
what are we saying? Jesus Christ died for us. Him being the bruised Christ meant that he died. He died for us. Let us not take what he has done lightly. I'm looking and glancing at the time and saying that time looks like it's almost up. But I feel like I've just started. I have about 5 minutes or about 5 minutes. A little more. Okay, good. Right. You know, when we speak of the gospel, we have to take into consideration not just the death, but also the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So make no mistake, Jesus Christ was bruised on the cross. He died. But that, as emotional as we might get with that, as painful as the thought and the feel of what Christ did, that is not even the most significant thing about Jesus Christ. The bruised heel of Jesus Christ, yes, it is about his death, but beyond that, it is about the fact that the bruised Christ was raised from the dead. And that gives us great hope. In fact, our faith is based, the Christian's faith is based on the bruised Christ. You know, in the songs, and I did not talk to Brother Myrie, but he selected several songs that spoke about faith. And that's no mistake, because our faith is the basis of our Christianity. You know, one of the songs chosen, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink." You know, "Oh, for a faith that is like rice and not like beef." That when the fires of life hits at us, we do not shrink and become small. But in the pressure of it all, we rise up. When health issues are at us, we can rise. When death comes knocking on our door, we don't shrink. But we can rise. Well, not in an unhealthy way. But the more trouble take us is the closer we draw to Jesus Christ. And our faith, brethren, our faith, friends, is based on the bruised Christ. You know, in St. John chapter 20, if we pick up at verse 19, then what we are going to realize is that it is not enough that Christ was bruised. It's not enough that Christ was bruised, but that he lives. Because he lives, says the songwriter, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can handle things. I am not dwelling on just the now, but I can look forward to tomorrow. Because he lives.
Amen.
Verse 19. Well, you know what? Jump down to verse 25. Pick up at verse 25.
The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord.
Yes.
What he said unto them.
Yes.
Except I shall see in his hand the
so
prince.
Here's it. What we have here is doubting Thomas, representative of someone without faith, as all of us were at some point in time. And what we see here is that the other disciples were able to say to Thomas, you know, we believe. But Thomas was saying, I don't believe. And sometimes it's because we are not in the right place. Sometimes it's because when we ought to be in the house of God, we are elsewhere. And so it is that Jesus Christ, on a day like this, on the first day of the week, that he presented himself to his disciples after his resurrection. And they developed faith.
Yeah.
Follow me now. Jesus Christ had died. Here were some disciples. Some believed, others believed not. What was the difference? Those who believed saw Jesus Christ alive.
Yeah.
Our faith is but an empty faith without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they said,
Except I shall see in his hand.
So that's Thomas speaking. While the disciples say, well, we believe, he was saying, except I see in his hands and
print,
I see his feet.
The print of the nails.
Yes.
And put my finger into the print of the nails.
Yes.
And thrust my hand into his side.
Yes.
I will not believe.
I will not believe. Read on. Verse 27.
Verse 27?
27.
26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Then said he to Thomas, reach either thy finger, and behold my hands,
mm-hmm.
and reach either thy hands, and trust it into my side.
Yes.
And be not faithless, but believing.
Be not faithless,
but believing.
But believing. You see what is happening here?
Yeah.
It is in seeing. It is in experiencing the living Jesus Christ, having been bruised, but now alive.
Yeah.
That it could be said, not faithless, but believing. The bruised Christ living. The bruised Christ being alive is the basis of our faith. Verse 28.
And Thomas answered and said unto him.
Thomas, having this experience, said,
my Lord and my God.
My Lord.
And my God.
My God. Let's not miss it. We have our essence in faith. What we believe. If we are to be obedient to the gospel, we must have a faith. Having heard the word of God, we develop faith. But watch Thomas in verse 28. Having no faith, having belief that Jesus Christ is truly special, that he be bruised, is still alive, says, my Lord
and my God.
And my God. What we are seeing here is that when we are in contact with the gospel, then not only do we develop faith, but we can do nothing but own up Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have to confess him as Lord, Master, our King. He's no ordinary person, and our faith propels us to confession.
Amen.
And I like how Thomas says it. He didn't just say, Lord, God. He says, my Lord. He personalized it. My God.
Amen.
And so sometimes we really need to adopt this principle. Yes, God is the God of the world, but he is my God. My God, says Paul, shall supply all my needs.
Amen. Amen.
He gets personal. It is me for whom he died. Yes, he died for the world, but he died for me.
Amen.
You know, we do not have the opportunity, like Thomas, to touch and to feel the holes and the prints of the nails. But you know what we have? We have the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, Jesus, verse 29.
Jesus said unto him,
yes,
Thomas,
yes,
because thou hast seen me.
So Jesus said, because Thomas, you have seen me, then you believe.
Blessed are they.
But blessed are they, referring to people like us.
That have not seen.
We have not seen.
And yet have believed.
But yet we believe. Amen. So we did not see. But by faith we see. By the faith that's written and left here.
Yes.
We can read as we did this morning and know about the fact that Jesus Christ is the bruised Christ.
Amen.
Continue reading.
And many other signs.
And many other signs.
Truly did Jesus.
Truly did Jesus.
In the presence of his disciples.
In their presence he did these.
Which are not written in this book.
Which are not written here. Read.
But these are
written
that he might
that
believe.
That you might believe.
That
I'm putting it on us now. Don't be like Thomas.
Amen.
Who was absent when Jesus Christ presented himself.
Yes, sir.
But I said, but how can I be otherwise? Is Jesus coming here and showing prints in his hands and feet? No, he's not. But guess what? He has left it written.
Amen.
In scripture.
Yes.
Many other things were done, but these were written. So that we can have faith.
Amen.
Just as Thomas did.
Yes.
We can have faith just like the disciples did.
Yes.
Faith in what? That the bruised Christ, though bruised, though he died, is a resurrected, alive Christ.
Preach,
in our lives.
Preach.
When we pick up back this lesson, we are going to look at the fact that today, a day just like this, where we have come to worship the Almighty God, one of the central things that we are all about is the Holy Communion.
Yeah.
Remembering his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
Yes.
Remembering what he went through in that bruised state.
Yes.
And so we remember.
Amen.
Oh, I'm supposed to be ending, so let me calm down. I'll leave that for next week. But Jesus Christ, the bruised Christ, is the basis of our faith. The Lord's Day is not something to be taken lightly. Let us be passionate about it, because from the genesis of our interaction with Christ and God, he pointed to the bruised Christ. Prophecy was made about the bruised Christ. Jesus Christ was bruised on the cross. He died. We have our faith vested. We have our faith grounded on the fact that we have a bruised Christ.
Yeah.
Here's it now. We have our sustenance. We continue to be maintained. We continue as followers of Christ so far as we continue remembering that in Jesus Christ we have a bruised Christ.
Amen.
And so we cannot take lightly the opportunity,
the
privilege of worshiping God, of remembering what he has done, what he suffered for us. Let's never forget that. That's a base, that's a root, that's a foundation, that's everything. Everything else is secondary. It's all about remembering what Christ has done to save you. The bruised Christ. Bruised Christ for us. Bruised Christ on the cross of Calvary. Bruised Christ on which our faith hangs and rests and is sustained.
Amen.
If you are not yet embracing the bruised Christ, don't let today pass. Because without the bruised Christ, we are faithless nothing. But with him, things are just wonderful and beautiful. Do you want to step across from that side to this side? Then beyond having faith, confession, beyond making that change, like Thomas did, you need to make a change. That's called repentance. And you can get in contact with the death, burial, and resurrection in baptism. And all of that can be done today. What's a song of encouragement, brother?